we move on. Today, Cabinet considered the review of our commitment to Afghanistan. Let me first emphasise that we are in Afghanistan to maintain security and stability. New Zealand has a direct interest in supporting international efforts to eradicate terrorism and to promote peace and stability. Recent efforts in Jakarta show that New Zealanders are not immune. The main findings of the review include a need for an improved whole-of-government framework for the next stage of engagement in Afghanistan. Cabinet's main decisions are as follows. The Provincial Reconstruction Team, the PRT, in Bamiyan Province will be gradually drawn down over the medium term, which is defined as 3 to 5 years. And there will be an increased civilian effort focused on the province in the areas of agriculture, health and education. Secondly, around 70 SAS personnel will be deployed to Afghanistan for up to 18 months and in 3 rotations. In keeping with long-standing practice, I'll be making no comment on the operational aspects of the SAS deployment. This will be the fourth time the SAS has been deployed to Afghanistan. Decisions on the 3 previous deployments were taken by the then Labor government. I know some of you have raised questions of how the SAS will deal with detainees, so let me address that. If the SAS were required to detain people, it is most likely they will be handed over to Afghan authorities. Like New Zealand, Afghanistan is a party to the Geneva Conventions. New Zealand has already received an assurance from the Afghan government that all transferred detainees will be treated humanely according to these conventions and international law. It is proposed that the efforts in Bamiyan province be aligned with the new policy of the Obama administration, which includes building the capacity of the Afghan central government and provincial governments. Realignment of the PRT's work will include helping build the capacity of the Afghan National Police to facilitate an accelerated transfer of the lead security role in Bamiyan to the police and a phased reduction in NDF personnel over time. The realignment will include a greater emphasis on development assistance and promoting good governance. Development assistance will focus on agriculture, health and education. To this end, it's proposed that the development advisor be attached to the PRT. Cabinet also decided that to support the work, the government also plans to appoint a senior diplomatic representative in the country instead of having diplomatic representation run from Tehran. I want to move, if I can, just to an update on the Tongan ferry disaster. This is obviously a huge tragedy for the Tongan people, and I've already expressed the government's deepest condolences to the people of Tonga. The latest information I have is, as of 1 p.m. today, is that 93 people are still unaccounted for from the sinking of the ferry. I'm advised that surface search continued until last evening, but nothing of significance was found. The Navy completed a grid search using a remote underwater vehicle, but the ferry was not located. The search area has now been widened, however, weather deteriorated overnight, and operations have been temporarily suspended until it improves. New Zealand has already sent the vessel Manawanui, a dive team, the underwater search vehicle, the Air Force aircraft, including Hercules, a coroner, and a number of other personnel are going up. I hope to speak to Prime Minister Fred Savelli either later today or tomorrow. New Zealand stands ready to offer whatever further assistance is deemed appropriate. I want to turn now to a visit of Prince Edward. Today I'm announcing that His Royal Highness the Earl of Wessex will visit New Zealand in November. Prince Edward will visit Christchurch, Wellington and Auckland during his 4-day visit, which will be run from the 2nd of November to the 5th of November. While in New Zealand, Prince Edward will present gold awards for the Duke of Edinburgh Award Programme. Further details of the programme will be made available closer to the visit. In terms of the House, as you'll know, the House is in recess this week. When it resumes next week, it's the government's intention to complete the estimates debate and make progress on the first reading of bills on the order paper. Wednesday the 19th of August is a Members' Day. Maybe on that note I can take some questions.
How difficult was it to make the decision to send 70 troops back?
Look, it's a difficult decision. There's no getting away from the fact that Afghanistan is a dangerous place. We're deploying our elite military there to try and stabilise the position in Afghanistan. But I'm confident that we have some of the best people in the world, and we're now asking them to complete a very difficult task.
Do you know where they were going?
I do, but as I said, I'm not going to comment on operational matters.
Given that and accepting that, can you give us any information at all about when and where they were?
Look, I don't think it would be in the country's best interest for me to do that. It would be in the foreseeable future, but that's about all I
can
say.
You said that you were a week or so ago, when we last updated on this, that they would be deployed fairly rapidly following
yep.
the position. Is that still there?
It's in the foreseeable future.
And is that 70 troops in each rotation?
Yes. Up to.
Can you clarify the civilian efforts?
Sorry.
What would you regard as constituting success in the task of disease?
Well, I think Afghanistan is a very unstable place, and there is a strategy now led by the ISAF and NATO countries to try and stabilise the position in Afghanistan, and the New Zealand SAS will be playing a role in stabilising that country and hopefully reducing the threat of terror. And I think it's worth remembering that if you look at the situation from 9/11 right through the London bombings and the Bali bombings, they all had their genesis and starting position out of people that were trained in Afghanistan. And the SAS's role is to try and stamp out the threat of terror, which is real and prevalent in Afghanistan.
Is it fair to say that the fourth rotation is the most dangerous one? Is it more dangerous there than it was in between 01 and 05?
I don't think I would characterise it that way, no. To the best of the knowledge I have. I mean, I don't think you can eliminate that there is real a risk to the people that we're deploying there, just as there actually is, I think, quite significant risk to the 140 personnel that we have in Bamiyan province. But I wouldn't call, on the advice that I've had, the likelihood that this rotation would be more dangerous than previous rotations, notwithstanding that Afghanistan is an increasingly more dangerous place.
Can you tell us whether they would be working in concert with other countries' special forces?
They will be. Working with others, but they'll remain under New Zealand command, and the previous conditions that were there where New Zealand reserves the right not to be engaged in any particular mission is retained.
So you say that LPRT will be home within 5 years?
Well, that's the aim. I mean, there's 140 people there. I think there needs to be an orderly exit from the PRT or from Bamiyan. And so the way I see that working is that over time, as we can pass over authority to both the local government there and ultimately the Afghan National Police, then I think we can reduce the number of personnel we have there. Now, there will be an increase in the civilian personnel undertaking agricultural work and health and the likes, but over time, within 3 to 5 years, I'd like to see our people out of Bamiyan.
You say we've been talking about this over the last few weeks, that you wanted to see
Well, there is the exit strategy is 3 to 5 years. I was hoping for an exit strategy a little faster than that, but the advice that's been given to me by those that undertook the review is that is the time frame that is realistic and that will support all of our efforts. And I'd hate to see, you know, we've had our people there since 2003, and I don't want to undermine all of the good work that they've had. I think they've done a lot of good work in Bamiyan, and so I think an orderly exit is the right way to go.
Is it realistic if you look at some of the comments coming out of the
Yeah, look, I don't think that will be the case, not for New Zealand anyway. I think New Zealand in 3 to 5 years will have been in Afghanistan initially since 2001 when these SAS were deployed. And you know, we're talking about sort of 14 years on, we'd still have some personnel there. So in my view, that's a long period of time. And I'm hopeful that the increased effort of NATO and ISAF countries in the next year or so will stabilise the position and allow the Afghan government to keep greater control of Afghanistan.
When that was first sent in 2001, a resolution in the Parliament, do you intend to do that to keep enforcement by the House of Commons?
No, it's not my intention to do that.
Well,
I don't think it's necessary.
You know, Phil Box says he doesn't believe that we should be sending these troops, and the PRT is the way to go.
Yeah, I've seen those comments, and I guess I'd make two comments. Firstly, let's not forget that it was a Labour government that actually deployed the SAS on three previous occasions. So when in government, they deployed the SAS. And secondly, it's my view that New Zealand, working alongside a lot of other countries that have increased their capability in Afghanistan, are working to stabilise and make Afghanistan more secure. Now, it may not be directly, but the combined efforts of all of those, that increased capability, hopefully will make the position safer for the 140 personnel we have in Bamiyan, and that's part of the logic that we're
using. Are you disappointed not to have bipartisan support?
Well, we'd always prefer that's the case, because these are New Zealanders who are putting their life on the line to make the world a more safe and stable place. It's never too late, and I'd encourage Mr. Gough from the Labour Party to support our actions.
I think you might be on the wrong side of this debate.
I might be.
No.
I don't know about that. Oh, look, this is for me not an issue of politics. It's a serious issue of how we get on top of a country which has become more unstable, and which is the breeding ground of international terrorism. And I think we need to deal with it.
Do you think he's opposing it because he's in opposition?
I'll leave you to speculate on that.
We've actually given ourselves 18 months, as far as the SAS deployment is concerned, to stabilise the country and combat local terrorism.
Yeah.
It's a fairly tight time frame.
Yeah.
Are you indicating that at the end of that 18 months, this deployment will be renewed?
No, I'm not indicating it will be renewed. It would be my expectation that the SAS would be returned to New Zealand in totality within 18 months.
With the threat from local terrorism and internal stability of the Afghan government guaranteed inside 18 months?
Well, I'm hopeful that the position will be vastly improved within 18 months. But we have a limit to the capability that we have. I think we're stepping up and playing our part in the world. But there's a limit to that, and that limit is the 18 months.
Logically, wouldn't that assume that if those goals haven't been met in that time frame, the threat would still endure, therefore the deployment logically would be renewed?
Well, I guess I'm going into the exercise a bit more optimistic.
This reference to building the capacity of the Afghan National Police, do you see the PRG doing that, or New Zealand Police, or what? And isn't that the training you're saying you didn't want New Zealand to be part of?
No, well, the Afghan National Police are... the New Zealand PRT currently at the moment works with a number of stakeholders on the ground there. Actually, the US have deployed people to Bamiyan province, and they are working with the Afghan National Police. But it's certainly over time our view that we should be able to hand over our responsibilities there, and that's why we're changing the composition. Well, the combination of people, I think there'll be some obviously with expertise in the various areas outlined, agriculture, health and education. There may be others.
Well,
I don't know. And at this point, we'll have to go away and work with the various different divisions there. Maybe slightly more increase in police as well, but we're looking at those numbers.
Has anyone conveyed this decision to the US, and so what was their response?
Look, it's fair to say that they were aware that we were going to make the decision today, but that I gave them an indication last week that it was likely that this decision would be reached. And I think that they are supportive, obviously, and grateful that New Zealand is playing its part. But I'd hasten to add that we made the decision not based on what we thought the response from the United States would be, but what we thought was required where New Zealand plays its part in relation to a whole lot of different international partners.
How was that conveyed? Are you talking about you conveyed it at four and more?
I had a meeting over there at the forum with a senior US representative who will have relayed that message back to the White House.
Do you know
what
the percentage of the SAS
I'm
on?
I don't know, I'm afraid
not.
No.
Well, it was talk about
Afghan
SAS deployment and this morning on breakfast, there was talk about former MPs expected on the flight. How open are you to the idea of broadening out there to include that?
Well, in the first instance, I'd like to deal with the issue of ministerial housing, partly because I think that's narrow enough and definable enough to get our hands around that and get a conclusive outcome. I'm not opposed if there is a broader review of MPs' expenses, but at this point we're not leading the charge on that.
Do you think how likely is it that there will be a war?
Well, I think it's possible. I think inevitably with greater transparency, more questions are being asked. And I think it's important actually for there to be balance on both sides of the debate, that we front up to the areas where there is ambiguity, or at least the public is confused about why those particular expenses might be there. But equally, I think it's also important that the MP's perspective is also put into the debate. And I think we can reach that balance.
The public sentiment is pretty clear over former MP's flight expenses.
Yep.
Would that be enough to push you into looking more broadly at it?
Well, it's one of the things I haven't closely looked at. I've taken the opportunity to look across all of the expenses that MPs, both former and current, receive. I haven't drawn any substantive conclusions of my own on those at this point. But I think it's fair to say that with former MPs, some of the challenges sit around the argument that they got those benefits in return for reduced income at the time, and obviously aren't in the position to enjoy, you know, the incomes that maybe is paid today. But that's something we need to think through and look at.
You said firstly we'll look at the accommodation expenses. Are you expecting a second review?
Well, I can't rule that out. And I've certainly said that as leader of the National Party, I wouldn't stand in its way. I think it's something that the Business Committee may well look at.
Can we discuss some of the electricity restructuring we took review today?
It did, and it would be my expectation that the Minister would be in a position to release that electricity discussion document on Wednesday.
Any announcements about the sorts of things you were talking about on Q&A, for example?
Well, the paper is quite wide-ranging, put together by the Technical Advisory Group. Canvasses a range of different ideas, and rather than sort of try and debate those, we simply acknowledge the receipt of the report, and the fact that the Minister would release that on Wednesday. Now, there'll be a consultation period. I suspect it will spark quite an interesting debate, both within the industry but also from consumer groups and the likes, and we'll have an opportunity to digest that debate and reflect on in due course.
So you haven't taken any decisions today?
No, we certainly haven't taken decisions today.
Can I ask
you
about
headpumps? Headpumps, yeah.
Under the Get the Government Scheme, we hear some of the suppliers complain because of compliance costs and audit costs, it's actually working up worse than getting pumps through the scheme than just buying it off the shelf.
Look, I haven't had a really good look at it, but I know that you know the story. And what I can say is I would be concerned if that was the case, that effectively the government subsidy is just leading to higher prices and not the anticipated benefit to consumers. And I'm going to go and have a look at that. That's about the best I can say at this point.
You haven't had any reports yet that seems to be widespread or...
Well, I've certainly said to my officials that I think it's something we should have a look at. That's about as far as we've got at that point. I've gone to Dr. Kevin.
Just going back to Bellingham for a moment.
Yeah.
In that drawdown,
yeah, I'm not sure it'll be strictly linear. I think what we will see is a roadmap put together for that withdrawal. That will ultimately go to Cabinet Committee, and Cabinet will discuss that. But I think we'll be working, you know, with the people on the ground, with the military, and with the Afghan government, certainly the provincial government, to work on what is the right time for that exit and how that will work. And obviously with the other stakeholders there as well. So, as CGO, I have a real mind for making sure that we don't undermine the good work that's been completed, but I do want to see New Zealand exit.
So no drawdown is likely to take place for the next 4 months,
No, I think you could see some modest reduction at that point, but you certainly wouldn't see a wholesale reduction within 12 months. It's possible.
What form is the diplomatic representation expected to take when that happens?
Essentially a High Commissioner based in Kabul. Don't know how long it can get the person on the ground, but you know, relatively soon.
How many U.S. troops do we actually get?
Sorry?
How many troops do you say U.S. troops do we actually get?
I'm not sure I'm able to answer that question.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just not in a position to answer that question.
Is there
despite all of your encouragement and enthusiasm for an answer.
Look, yeah, an issue though in terms of if you had some sort of law on which you always need a certain number to look for. Is this using what I'm
Well, it's fair to say in making the decision that we have, and taking the decision that we have, we haven't done so yet the neglect of any other future commitments or requirements we might have.
By calling it three rotations though, is this really three deployments, just to authorisation for three deployments to use, when circumstances arise?
Well, it recognises the fact that there could be that each deployment wouldn't go for longer than 6 months. So for operational reasons, they prefer them to run them at that period of time, and that this would be just a sort of a continuous rolling position with a maximum of 3 for 6 months.
So that tells us that you need at least 140.
Sorry?
You must get at least 140.
Well.
You mentioned being in contact with the United States. Have you been in contact at all with the Canadian government, mindful that this is forces to work in unison with the Canadian Special Forces and previous deployments?
I personally have not been, but I can't rule out the fact that there hasn't been some communication through our MCAT staff, that's quite possible. Or defence staff.
Your friend Keisha.
Yep.
You said on breakfast this morning that you're going to come to tea with her.
Good to see you all watch breakfast.
Have you asked your office to set up the cup of tea?
I haven't, but I'm more than happy to have a cup of that.
Will you organise it though, or will you wait for you to follow up with your kettle?
Yeah, right, I'll give her a ring.
What will you say to her now that you've set your target?
Well, look, I'm happy to give her some of the reading that I've been given.
What a treat.
Wait till she reads the Treasury document. She might think I've been a bit extravagant at minus 10.